All right, hour number three. Hope you are doing well. We are going to talk some NFL football in the next 2 hours. We'll mix in, obviously, the Kings and the NBA as they have an off night. They will be playing tomorrow right here against the L.A. Clippers. Big morning for us. Jim Rome is going to be right here at KHTK doing his show from 9 to 12, and then he'll be at Golden One Center, so we're looking forward to that. And the Seahawks currently an 8-point favorite to beat the Detroit Lions, and who better to talk about that than the Hall of Famer? Of course, you hear him on the Seattle Seahawks radio network. Does a great job. That is Warren Moon. Warren, it is Grant Napier, and I'm with a guy from Seattle, Doug Christie, who is wearing his Seattle colors right now.
That's
and
right.
He is just pumped up to hear your voice. How are you, Warren?
I'm doing great, Doug. Welcome to the show, man. I've been on many times. I guess you're a new addition, but
yes,
it's great
sir.
To have you aboard.
Thank
Big fan of yours when you played in the NBA.
I appreciate it, Warren. Thank you so much. I'm trying to get this New York Giants guy down here. I'm trying to reel him in. That's all.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I'm feeling
takes a while.
Hey, listen, defense, baby, defense. And that's why I'm looking at Seattle and the way they played coming down the stretch. And everyone talks, Warren, about the loss of Thomas and on the back end. And, gosh, you know this team better than anybody. How confident are people up there in Seattle with the way this team kind of faltered coming down the stretch a little bit?
Well, people are a little nervous. There's no question about it. They're concerned because one of the trademarks of this team over the Pete Carroll eras has been the way they finished the season. They've always finished very, very strong, and they just haven't been that way this year. They've been kind of up and down, inconsistent. And it makes cause for concern because you want this team to be playing their best football. Every team wants to be playing their best football coming down the stretch, but we haven't. But so, you know, Detroit's the same way. They lost their last three ball games. And what you try and do is say, okay, the regular season is over. This is the new season. This is the playoffs, totally different atmosphere. So it's time to, you know, really turn up the focus, turn up the intensity, and hopefully you can play much better when you go out there this Saturday night against Detroit, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself going home early.
Ugh, that would just be awful, and I'd have to come in here, Warren, and I'd have to hear about it. I do not want to hear that.
No, you don't want that.
No, you know, the leading running back, the leading rusher for the Hawks plays for the Packers right now, and that would be Christian Michael. I think it's something like 18 different guys at that position, a big number. Have you seen anything like that? And how do you think the Hawks are going to look at that position this weekend?
Well, yeah, I haven't seen that many people playing for one football team in a year. I'm sure it's happened before, but the big reason why for us has been injuries. Mm-hmm. We drafted some guys this year, whether it was Alex Collins, whether it was CJ Prosite. We had Thomas Rawls coming back. So we had a lot of guys that had promise on our football team that just didn't stay healthy this year. So because of that, we've been going running back by committee, or anybody that's healthy that week, we're going to put them out there on the field. So it's been that way for us this year, and that's one of the reasons why our offensive line has not played well in the running game, because we've had inconsistency at the running back position as well. And it's just like a quarterback and receiver. The offensive line and those backs have to work in tandem with each other. They have to develop that same timing that a quarterback and a receiver have to develop.
Right.
We just haven't had a chance to do that this year.
We're talking with the Hall of Famer Warren Moon right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, the one thing you have a quarterback that's been there. He's done that. Always seems to play very well in these situations. Where's Russell Wilson's game right now?
He's playing really well. I think over the last 3 weeks, he's thrown something like 9 touchdowns, only 1 interception, taking really good care of the ball. You know, his pass percentage is high, and he feels good health. He's good health-wise. You know, he was really banged up early in the season, had a sprained MCL as well as a high ankle sprain on the other leg, and he was very immobile and pretty much had to stay in the pocket most of the time. He just didn't have the mobility. Now he's got that mobility. He's able to escape, move around the pocket, able to extend plays on the outside, and also hurt you with his legs a little bit running the football, which will help our running game. So having him healthy and having him in a frame of mind where he looks forward to this time of year, he wants to be great, and he knows the only way you're great is when you play good in the playoffs. So he's looking forward to it.
Warren, what is the vibe of the team? Because I've seen guys going at each other, and then guys going at coaches. Richard has got into it a couple times, Sherman. But I know Pete Carroll's built that kind of atmosphere where guys can speak their mind. What's the vibe of the team, though? Are they confident? Is that kind of how they go about their business or what?
I think they are confident. It's a very confident group. It's a group, like you said, that Pete lets them speak their mind and show their emotions as long as it doesn't get outside or become a distraction within the locker room. Mm-hmm. You know, Richard has been very vocal lately, especially with the media. And there's a lot of frustration right now with some of our veteran guys because they know that there's been a window that they've been playing in that's slowly closing. And they feel like they don't want to look back 5 years from now and say, we really missed out on some great opportunities as a football team to win more championships than we have. So they want to make sure these young players are coming along and putting in the same focus, the same commitment as they are, because we have a lot of young players on this team to go along with these experienced, talented veterans that we have. And sometimes these young guys don't understand what it takes to get to that level. So that's what they're trying to do, get that message across to these young guys that we've really got to step it up. And that's the only way we're going to play well as a team is we've got to have everybody on the same page.
You know, Warren, when you look at the Lions, you know, people say, well, gee, they come in with a three-game losing streak. But, I mean, gee, they lost at the Giants, at the Cowboys, and then that home game against Green Bay. So, you know, it's not like they, you know, played to, you know.
No, they played very good teams. Yeah.
So when you look at this team, what concerns you about it from Seattle's perspective?
Well, you look at their receiving core. I mean, you got Golden Tate with 91 catches. You got Anquan Boldin, who's been around forever, but he is a true professional, makes big plays all the time, had 64 catches. Marvin Jones was one of the best free agent acquisitions at wide receiver, averaging 18 yards a catch. And then you got Eric Ebron at tight end. That's a great receiving core to go along with a quarterback in Matthew Stafford, who was one of the best throwers in this league as far as arm talent. He's got a problem with that finger. That's bothered him a little bit on his accuracy. But this is a guy that when he gets hot, he's a gunslinger. He's like a Brett Favre, you know, playing today. And they've got 8 wins coming from behind. So this is a team that will not go away. You've got to put them away. And if you don't, if they're going to be a hard out no matter how much you're favored by, whether you're at home or not. This is a team that, because of that quarterback, they're going to keep fighting.
You know, Warren, looking at Michael Bennett, I think that is going to be big time getting back and getting – to Matthew Stafford. His health has been an issue. Where is he at right now? Is he 100%? Is he feeling good to really jump off the screen and get back there and rattle Matthew Stafford?
You know, I don't think anybody's 100% right now, but Michael feels as good as right now as he's felt all season long. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. And he had a sack last week against the 49ers. He had another sack the week before, but he made a sack dance, and that got nullified. So since he's been back in the lineup, he's been a disruption. And we've also got Frank Clark on one side with 10 sacks and Cliff Avery on the other side with 11.5. So this defensive line can really get after you. And if that's one of the weaknesses of Detroit, it's been their offensive line. They've had some injuries up front. So hopefully we'll be able to take advantage of that and put some pressure on Matthew Stafford so he's not very comfortable in the pocket. You know, you combine the noise that we have here at CenturyLink Field to go along with these talented players, we should be able to put some pressure on the quarterback.
Warren Moon joining us here, and last time he was on, we talked some Husky football, and I asked you this because Jake Browning is from here in the Sacramento area, and obviously not easy going against Alabama, and for a kid that's just finished his second year, I don't think there's any question he's got a bright future. When you look at Jake's game, where do you see his next step being? When you look at him, what do you think he needs to do? And when you look into your crystal ball, how do you see him as an NFL quarterback?
I just think he needs to get physically stronger. You know, he's kind of a frail built guy when he came here. He's built that up a little bit in his second year, and I think he can even expand on that going into his third year and become a little bit more of an NFL type looking quarterback. You look at what Deshaun Watson did from last year to this year. He probably put on about 15 pounds of muscle to his body, and he looks more like an NFL quarterback now in college than he did last year. I think the same thing has to happen with Jake, so he can take more of that pounding physically, because he really wore down as the season went on this year. And I think if he builds himself up a little more, he'll have more stamina. He'll be fresher at the end of the season as far as his arm is concerned, and he won't take as much of a pounding as he took this year. So I think that's his next development, because as far as making good decisions, knowing the offense, he's only going to get better at that just because of the experience that he has in the offense. But the body part, the physical part, I think he can really work on this offseason.
It looks like Coach Peterson has Dog Nation real excited. What do you think the upside? Obviously, going losing to Alabama was a tough loss, but I don't think anyone really saw the UW coming this way. Recruiting, all of that. What's it look like now going forward for the Huskies?
Well, we have a great recruiting class committed already this year, and what they've done this year is only going to help them. I saw that one big recruit that was going to University of Oregon, he decommitted, and now he's coming to us, a big offensive lineman. So you're starting to see some of that type of stuff because you know how young kids are. They want to go with the flavor of the week, and the flavor of the week right now up here in the Northwest is University of Washington, and that's great because that's the way it used to be up here back during the days of Don James. So Chris has really turned the mentality around up here. He's got the excitement level really high, a very talented football team to go along with really good young men in the classroom and that. So things are in a really positive direction for us at the University of Washington. I'm just so proud of the job that he's done in such a short period of time.
Warren, it's always great for you to make time to come on the show. It's greatly appreciated.
Anytime, Grant, and you guys take care, and you guys make a great tandem together. I love it. Doug,
appreciate
congratulations,
you, man.
My man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Warren. Good stuff right there from Warren Moon. Just a class act.
Oh, man, he is awesome.
I love him.
I see on our text line people, why are we talking about Seahawks football? Listen. We're talking about playoffs, playoffs.
We preview all the teams in the playoffs. Anybody that's listening to my show knows that I cover all 32 NFL teams, not just the two teams in our area. And I think the majority of fans that listen to the show love that.
Yeah, but we're definitely going to talk about the NFC.
Arnold. Hello, Arnold. How are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. A great interview with Warren Moon. How are you guys doing?
We're doing
great.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, you know, I just want to touch base about yesterday's game. You know, Ben McLemore starting, you know, it was just kind of coincidence that I thought to myself, you know, I'm okay with him starting. He's not going to play the majority of the minutes, or he's not going to play towards the end of the game, but I'm okay with him starting. But you know what? At this point, I don't see why you don't put Aflalo or Temple in there. I like Aflalo and Temple off the bench, but the inconsistent starts, guys, I mean, it's getting to the point where you can't – it's so hard to come back. It's so hard to come back, and I think Ben is just struggling. And you know, I'd like to see, you know, Flavio and Temple are playing well, so I just don't see why you don't go with that.
Are you kind of insinuating that the start is Ben's fault? Because I don't think that the start is totally Ben's fault.
He played 6 minutes. Come
yeah,
on,
yeah, he only played 6 minutes. I understand your point though that you would like to see Temple, now Aflalo playing better, because for some time Aflalo hadn't been playing well, and we were saying start Temple. I think coach is trying to find a nice, you know, mix of who he brings off the bench, because at the same time, we got to understand, we got to have some pop off of the bench. But Ben, if you're listening to our interview with coach earlier, it's up in the air. He's trying to figure that situation out.
Yeah, you know, I just think throughout the game, you want consistency, but I think right now you want a consistent start, and I would think right now maybe it would be Temple or Apollo. Just given their experience. But anyway, I hope the best for Ben. I really do. I hope he just blossoms into a really good player. But going to Willie Clyde's side, I really liked the way I saw yesterday. What I kind of noticed about him, and I think it's similar to Ben, is that when they stink, they don't play well. And I think Willie just needs to react and just go on his God-given ability to be super athletic. And same thing with Ben. I mean, if they hesitate on the shot or they think about it, they typically don't do well. Or Willie thinks about jumping for a rebound. You just need to do it. So but I like what I saw yesterday. And DeMarcus, you know, he struggles against smaller, big guys, if that makes any sense. The guys who have quicker feet, who have kind of a lower center of gravity, they seem to really be aggressive on him. And because his calls or whatever, but guys go after him hard, especially when they know they're oversized, and they push him way out. And you see hands flinging and stuff like that. DeMarcus is a strong guy, but it doesn't seem like his lower body really. Guys get underneath him, they push him out, and it forces him to play on the perimeter, and he can't take advantage of them not having a big guy.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. You went on and on and on. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, DeMarcus usually solves the puzzle pretty well. And a lot of times, Grant, what I see is that when he does have a smaller guy, they try to force feed it. You got to move him around.
Yes.
And let him catch that smaller guy, glancing blows with that big body.
All right, let's get to John. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Grant and Doug both, I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are. I honestly am a little disappointed in our GM right now. you know, we have three first-round draft picks, and this last year, and one in the top 10, and none of them have seen any playing time, and it's, you know, I'm not blaming a coach on something like that. They're obviously not good enough to be playing. I've never even heard of three first-round draft picks not even seeing any playing time in their first year.
Have you seen Dunn? I think he was a fourth pick and fifth pick in Minnesota.
He's terrible.
He's terrible. He doesn't even see the floor.
So let me wrap this up, John. Okay, I'm going to tell you. Okay, this was a weak draft, and I had Scott Howard Cooper on from NBA.com last week, and he probably covers the draft more than any other person. He goes over to the combines in Europe. He goes to the combines here. He's dialed in, and I asked him, I said, we knew that based on the forecast that this was going to be a weak draft. Now, if you looked at this draft, how would you assess it? And he said it was even weaker than we thought, okay?
Right.
And so don't judge whether the three Kings are playing this year. Judge them if they're going to ever make it into the NBA 3 years from now. Because the reality is, if you use that blanket statement to talk about all the rookies that were drafted this year, you would have an analysis of complete fail. Well, not complete, big failure across the board,
yeah.
Really. So I wouldn't make too much out of that just now. I really wouldn't.
Well, the other concern with that too, Grant, is, and I guess I'm probably, and I love Vlade Divac. He's, you know, I'm such a big fan of him as a player and as a person, but I'm looking at another thing that on the team, and we have Rudy Gay out there. That if we don't do something here shortly, we're getting nothing.
Well, what do you think Vlade's doing? Do you think that Vlade is like not aware of that? Do you think that Vlade?
No, I'm sure he is.
I mean, you listen, but trust me, Vlade's working around the clock to make this team better. You know, a lot of people ripped him this summer for signing Garrett Temple and Tolliver and Lawson. And, you know, no one's ripping him for those moves now. And, again, I like Malachi Richardson based on what I'm seeing in short sample sizes. You got another kid coming over next year in Bojan Bogdanovic, who was part of a trade involving Marquise Chris, okay?
Sure.
I think that if the draft were held all next year, if he entered the draft next year, he'd be a clear no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Top lottery pick, not number one, but he'd be a lottery pick. So, you know, let's not get carried away on this stuff.
You know, and if you look at Tolliver, Temple, and Lawson, and then if you put a Flalo in there and he continues to play the way that he's played, and then you calculate what you spent on those players, there were other guys who got signed. One person who, like Alan Crabb, for instance, I think $80 million that he got, and he's not doing half of that. So you got to look at the little
Look at Evan
moves.
Turner. He's been a colossal disappointment in Portland.
Yeah, I think another 60 or 70
That's right.
million.
Somebody wants to know, when are we talking about Miami? We just did. You missed it. We had on
Fins
Joe Rose
up,
the radio analyst for the Dolphins, a little bit earlier in the show. All right, Joe, or rather James. Hello, James. How are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
Wanted to talk about Miami being so underrated against Pittsburgh, and wondering why most analysts are talking about Pittsburgh just being an overall better team when they first met them. They had, you know, all three weapons with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell.
No, they didn't.
No.
Ben Roethlisberger did not play,
and
Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback for Miami. So you can throw that game right out the window.
And you got to know that you're looking at a Pittsburgh team who is going to be totally locked in. Ben's healthy, Brown's healthy, Le'Veon Bell's healthy. Then this is going to end. They're on the road in Pittsburgh. So, and you got Matt Moore at quarterback, who hasn't seen that type of environment.
I'm not saying
I'm sure
that Miami can't win. I'd be very surprised if they did win.
Okay, but if you recall, Big Ben did play. He was only out for the last of the three series, and then he came back in the third quarter.
Let me ask you this: are you picking Miami to win the game?
I'm picking Miami to win by 3 points.
Okay, fair enough. Call us back on Monday. We'd love to talk to you, and good luck to your Dolphins. All right, let's get to Joe. Hello, Joe. How are you?
How you doing, guys?
What's happening?
Just really quick. Well, first of all, Happy New Year to both of you guys.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, sir. Just real quick, last night's game, when they went on that 19-0 run, the team that they had on the floor.
Right.
I understand DeMarcus is a dominant player, but last night, I mean, we all saw it. It wasn't his game last night. And do you feel that Jaeger should have maybe not let him play for a little bit, but if he wasn't, he should have put the last guys that were playing, because it seemed like it was good energy, and then those two came in, and it just turned out to be bad energy, because Barnes got a technical.
Yeah, we talked to Coach Yeager about that earlier, and Grant and I had talked about it. It's a fine line to draw that, and Coach pointed to the fact that Garrett Aflalo, 31 minutes last night. He played 30 minutes the night before. He had been out for almost 10 days or something like that. So a couple of those guys, not so much Costa Cupas, but Anthony Tolliver, 28 minutes, they were kind of on their last legs. They were tired. He wanted to get them a break and a rest. But I understand, because that group was playing absolutely fantastic, and if they could have finished it out, they probably would have got the win. But you got to know that your two-time All-Star probably is going to deliver for you. Marcus just had a bad game last night.
Amen. Plain and simple.
Hallelujah.
Yes. All right. Tell you what we'll do. We'll take the break. We will come right back, because we're going to get you all the way up till 7 o'clock. We did preview the Dolphins, who were in Pittsburgh. We just talked with Warren Moon. So phone calls right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. We are back with you on Sports 1140 KHDK.
We're back?
We're back.
We're live?
Well, Randy Gregory's not back. He has been suspended again by the National Football League, the defensive end of the Dallas Cowboys.
What happened? He hurt his toe? He got suspended.
Got suspended. You know, and again, he had only played the last two games, and I don't know how he would have played, but it's just, you just don't know if people like that have a problem, a drug problem, and they can't help themselves, or they're just stupid.
Well, on that team, knowing the possibilities, I don't even know what to call it. Ding dong. That's all I could say. Man, too bad.
Somebody says, don't forget Vladdy let Rondo walk. Great move. Yeah, that was a great move. You know, Rondo wants out of Chicago already. He's not even playing now.
They set him down in a little bit of disruption in the locker room.
Yep.
But, I mean, if you look at what Ty Lawson is bringing for the price that it cost him compared to what it would have cost you for Rondo,
it's one of the best bargains in basketball.
You got to say that right now he is a great bargain.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some more phone calls. Dave, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Lifelong 49er fan. I want to know what you both think are the chances are the 49ers getting somebody that will make a difference based on the ownership. I just don't see it happening. I just think that ownership, for some reason or another, this owner, Jed York, is either too young, too inexperienced, and doesn't seem to learn from his lessons. That's just an opening door. I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, he's spending right now about $30 million to coaches that don't work there, so that's not good. I wouldn't have a lot of faith in him doing the right thing, but what choice do you have?
Well, you know, when we talked, I think it was yesterday or the day before, we talked about his press conference. He said, am I going to hire a coach or a general manager or a general manager and a coach? And when you say those type of things, it just kind of says to me that you don't have direction. So to Grant's point, how are you going to trust a guy that doesn't have that direction? And you're already paying, like Grant said, $30 million for coaches that aren't even there. So you're going to be paying your coach in excess of, I don't know, $60 million or something crazy. And, yeah, there's a lot of things that need to go on. So I would say, ultimately, it will get turned around, but it's going to be a while.
I agree. I just can't see them doing it. And one last point. I think my sleeper pick for the Super Bowl this year is the Giants.
Yeah.
You got to have a really good defense, and they have a very good defense. Personally, I think if the Giants go into Lambeau Field and win, watch out.
Yes, I will agree with that. As bad as that hurts me to say that, Grant, I would have to agree with you. If they can go in Lambeau and get that one, actually, whoever wins that game, watch out.
I don't think Green Bay could beat Dallas. I don't even think they could be competitive against Dallas.
If Green Bay is able to beat a defense like New York, watch out.
Again, the problem with Green Bay is their defense isn't even remotely good enough to beat Dallas, in my opinion.
Yep, maybe you beat them in a shootout.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
That you could do.
Yeah.
That you might be able to do.
You might be able to do that one.
That's a very good point. Yeah. That might happen. All right, let's get to Richard. Hello, Richard. Richard, you there? All right, let's get to Carl. Hello, Carl.
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Carl. What's happening?
Hey, I had a couple of questions for you, and the first one is, are we still in that position where if we finish above the bottom 10 teams, we lose a conditional first-round draft pick?
It's to Chicago. That's correct. You would lose the pick to the Chicago Bulls. It's nine. So if you're not among the nine worst teams, then the pick goes to Chicago.
Top 10 protected.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me have you guys put on your GM hats then for a second.
Hold on 1 second.
Do I get paid like a GM?
I had to put on my hat.
Yeah, you get paid like Jeff Petrie or Vladdy.
All right, then exactly. I'm happy to do it.
You're all in. Okay.
I'm all in.
what I'm wondering is, we get down to the end of the season, we're somewhere in the same position we were last year, where we're a couple games out of the eighth seed, let's say, or close. And now you're looking at playing the Warriors in the first round and getting blown out if you do make it, probably. And then losing that conditional draft pick, what does the team start to do? Because last year, I think it was pretty clear we jake the end of the season in a few games in order to keep that pick.
Well, yeah, I mean, DeMarcus decided he wasn't going to play anymore. Rudy, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely correct.
So what's it going to take? What is going to be your move now that you're GM? We get down to the end of the year, and we look like we're in that very same position again.
Well, if it were me, if that's the case, if it were me, you know, Papayannis would be my starting center. Lobby Sierra would be my starting power forward. Malachi Richardson would be my starting two guard. But I'm not. That's not my decision to make. But the way you phrase it with your scenario, if the playoffs are not in reach, then that's that. Personally, that's what I would do.
Yeah, if the playoffs aren't in reach, you definitely have to see what you have with those other guys. Are you able to get a draft pick, say, for a Rudy Gay? Are you able to make something happen? I think that you got to examine the players that you do have now. You got to give them some time so that you know what you have to go out and get.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm thinking that that's a and I didn't mean to suggest that the playoffs would be out of reach. I'm saying, what if you're right on that edge? Maybe you're number nine.
If they're right on the edge, they're gonna try to win every game and make the playoffs.
You really think so?
I guarantee it.
Okay.
Because right on the edge is pretty much where we're at right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
But it's really early in the year. I mean, I think late in the year, I guess you're right. They probably do the same thing. But it seems to me like, you know, one realistic possibility is that we're right back where we were last year, where the end of the season is a throwaway, and we're just trying to hang on to a pick.
If they can make the playoffs, they're going to try to make the playoffs. And if not, then they'll go to plan B. But they're going to try to make the playoffs if it's in reach.
That's right.
Richard, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
How you doing tonight?
How are you?
I'm doing all right. What are your thoughts? I might have missed it coming on the show a little late. About the Raiders and maybe their playoff run. I know without Derek Carr, it's, you know, probably the biggest loss they could have had. I really think they can go on a little bit of a deep run. I think the rest of the AFC got lucky. We didn't get home field.
Well, the Raiders have been better on the road than they have at home, so I disagree with you there. The rest of the AFC is not really worried about playing the Raiders. I'm just telling you, without Derek Carr.
They need to be, and you've been.
Okay. All right. Goodbye. You think the New England Patriots are worried about the Oakland Raiders without Derek Carr? Let's wake up and be serious.
No,
I'm not sure
that the Texans – I mean, I know the Texans are a little bit worried, but you got to think. You played the Texans in Mexico, and the score was 27-20, and you had a healthy Derek Carr. They had Brock Osweiler, who they are going to have this weekend, and you don't have your guy. Matter of fact, you don't even have your second guy. I have a question for you, Grant. I saw this on TV earlier, and I meant to ask you. Since, what was it, 2002, the last time that the Raiders were in the playoffs.
That's right, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Do you have an idea of how many quarterbacks – they've had since then?
The Raiders?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Super Bowl 37, 2002. How many quarterbacks? I would ask you to name them, but I don't know if we have enough time.
I would say 18.
23.
Wow.
23.
Yeah.
And some of the names are absolutely incredible.
Oh, I know.
Dante Culpepper, Tuiasa Sopo, Jason Campbell, Carson Palmer, Matt Leiner. Now that Terrell Pryor, who's now a wide receiver. Go on and on, man. It kind of shocked me, man. I was like 23.
Wow.
Crazy stuff.
Mike, you're next here on Sports 1140.
Well, I guess 25, so I was a little bit over. How you guys doing?
What's happening?
We're great.
Hey, Grant, I actually called you last year at the trade deadline and talked to you about a trade for DeMarcus. And I'm wondering, not from the King side, but I'm wondering from the team side that I'm going to talk the player to, would they do the deal? I would have loved last year if they would have traded DeMarcus for the Greek Freak. Do you think Milwaukee would do that deal?
No, I don't.
Do you think he's a better player?
Well, I would always take a standout guard over a standout big man, and he basically is the point guard. I love Adetokounmpo. I think he's phenomenal. But no, I don't think either team would. I don't think the Milwaukee Bucks or the Kings would make that deal.
You don't think the Kings would make the deal?
If any team was going to do it, Sacramento may do it, and I underline may with a less than 25% chance of that happening. But I love Adetokounmpo. I think he is really, really good.
His upside is, you don't even know what it is. That's how high it is.
I think in 3 years he'll be the best player in the NBA.
Well, you know what? I don't know if he'll be the best player, but he's good. But let me ask you this: if you think that, the Bucks think that, right? So why would the Bucks make that trade?
Well, that's why I was saying I called you last year and I spoke to you about it, and I was hoping that we could get that kid before he blew up because
Guess what? He's blown up. He's not going anywhere.
All the way up.
So no, I don't think Milwaukee would make that deal.
Yeah, that's why I was asking.
If you're asking me, would I make that deal? I would make that deal for Sacramento because I love Adetokounmpo, and I think his position, the way the game is played in this day and age, is more valuable than the center position. But that's not going to happen.
Yeah, if it winds up happening, Grant, let me know, and we'll go get him at the airport.
if it happens, I think the whole world will know.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll be right back on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Clothes. That's what's in my closet.
What's in your closet? Come on, man.
Got some clothes in there, and my ball, but I don't have to sit on it anymore. Now I get to come to a studio, Grant, with you.
Good stuff right there. All right, if you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Somebody wants to know if I would trade Rudy, Ben, and Willie for Paul Millsap. Well, first of all, Paul Millsap is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. I would love to have Paul Millsap, and I would trade. I would make that trade in a absolute split second if I knew that Paul Millsap would sign here. But I would never, acquiring a player that's an unrestricted free agent, you better be damn sure.
Yes,
that you can make that move
because you give up a whole bunch, and I think you just said three different players.
There's no way in the world Atlanta would do that.
Yeah, and you got to know you're going to sign him. If you don't, you're in trouble.
All right. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Hello, Eric. How are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, good. I talked to you guys a week ago about some Cousins trade options. I think I was talking to the call screener. What was the Atlanta proposed?
I'm not even going to say it was stupidity. So I'm not even going to.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to call the caller earlier with the Antetokounmpo stupid. That wasn't a stupid call. It just. I think he was 21 years old to start this season. So he just turned 22 a few weeks ago. He's like, 5 or 6 years younger than DeMarcus Cousins. And he even said himself that he has, the highest upside in the league. Yet, for some reason, he thought it was a good reason to trade him straight up for DeMarcus Cousins, who's possibly one of the biggest headaches in the league as well as his talent. So, you're not going to be able to get the Greek Freak.
No, not happening. Not happening.
Yeah, no, it's not happening to anywhere. Not just Sacramento. I don't think he's going to be the best player in the NBA, but he's clearly going to be a perennial All-Star.
Yep.
And a guy who, like I said, a guard-oriented player in the current NBA is much more valuable than these big guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why all the MVPs, we saw Curry win back-to-back MVPs because the league is kind of a changing situation. And I think you still got to explore the options for Cousins, but I would still like to see, because it's so impossible to get super good value, you're not going to get the best player back. If you can get two really solid players, this is any best, not just the Kings, but any team that can trade their best player, get two quality starters that are both, one's at least under contract, like you said. You don't want a guy who's going to be gone next year. Have two guys back that are quality players. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is everyone calls and they talk about trades and all this stuff. And in my opinion, first you have to figure out the style of play that you're going to play. Because if you just start moving players around, you're just going to end up with a whole bunch of players. And what are you going to do with them? How are you going to play? Because if you are going to play a style of basketball that is conducive to a DeMarcus Cousins style of player with put shooters around him, you already have the piece that requires a double team. So you got to be careful with that. I know everyone's asking, oh, let's do this, let's do that. But
Doug, DeMarcus Cousins is the trade piece. You're not. That is the guy. We talked about this last week. You're not going to find a lot of trade value for Caspi. Rudy Gay's off the books.
But still, what style are you playing? What style of basketball? Define that before you start talking about trading pieces. You have to define what you're doing.
I agree. That is an excellent point. My only argument back would be the Kings, what they're doing now is not working. So I don't think it really matters. You got to do something. Change it up. I'm not sure what the answer is. All right, guys.
All right, thank you. Let's get to Nate. Hello, Nate. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Grant, Doug, how are you guys?
What's happening?
Not much. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question regarding that Paul Millsap comment a little bit ago. So if they were to try to work a deal like that, would you try to have a contract pre-negotiated with Paul Millsap before he comes back?
You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that. And also, what's your thoughts on the Packers-Giants game Sunday, Grant?
I think it's a toss-up. I think it's an absolute toss-up. I think I give a slight edge to the Packers because they were at home. If the game were in New York, I'd go with a slight edge to the Giants. But to me, it's a 50-50 game.
I don't see 50-50, Grant. I think that the Packers have a chance to win. I give you guys a better chance than you're giving yourselves, man.
No, I think it's 50-50. I think that, you know, again, it's going to be, it's going to be like a minus two feel up there with the weather. And I think, you know, that can be a little conducive to a few turnovers. The Giants, to me, have the best defense in football right now. And defense normally wins in the playoffs. But I give Green Bay the slight edge because they're at home.
Really? Now, I have another question. I don't believe – I think Eli Apple got hurt in the first matchup earlier this season.
Apple and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, both of the cornerbacks, did not play.
Yeah, so I'm a big Packers fan, but that kind of worries me because they didn't play in that first game.
No, they did not. And the Giants really – and again, not to make excuses, but this is a big issue. The Packers were coming off a bye week, and the Giants were in Minnesota on Monday night. So the Giants were on the road on a Monday night – had to fly home, got home early Tuesday morning, then had to leave Saturday to go play at Green Bay, and the Packers were coming off a bye week. That also factored into that game.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys. I love listening to you, and thank you again.
Hey, thank you. I think it'll be a very close game. I think it will come right down to the final minute or two in Green Bay. I'd be very surprised if there's separation between these two teams. As I said, I'm not that impressed with Green Bay. I'm really not. Are they a good team? Yeah, they're a good team. But I'm not blown away by their six-game win streak. I'm really not. Do I think that you can take them lightly? No, I don't think that. But I'm looking at their six-game win streak, and, you know, they won at Philly. They beat the Texans at home. They beat the Seahawks when they were struggling big time. They barely won at Chicago, 30-27. They beat the Vikings, in which Aaron Rodgers got knocked down the whole game, 38-25. And then they won against the Lions by 7 points.
You know, interesting, Grant, that you say it's going to come down to the last play, because under Montgomery, 5 of the 7 playoff losses with the Green Bay have come down to the last
McCarthy.
Play. I mean, McCarthy.
Yeah.
Have come down to the last play of the game.
They've
and
lost,
one of them,
5 overtime games.
Yeah, Larry Tynes, is it? Your field goal
Lawrence
kicker?
Tynes.
Lawrence Tynes.
In overtime. The last pass
play
that Brett Favre ever threw as a Packer was
exactly
intercepted by number 23, Corey Webster.
You are a piece of work, man. But that's interesting. 5 of 7
yep.
losses,
yep.
last play.
Yep.
So that you say that, really, the number and everything?
Corey Webster, number 23. Dan, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Grant, thank you for taking my call. Quick question for both of you guys. I was going to talk about the Kings. I got plenty of season to complain about them. Said the football playoffs are almost here. But quick question, since Doug, you played in Portland, and Grant, you've been all over to all the stadiums. I'm going to my first Portland game. Me and the wife haven't been to Oregon yet. We're going to travel to Oregon and go to the Moda Center in February. Real quick, is there anything you can tell me about the Moda Center, the transportation, the food out there, anything?
They have a couple of restaurants right there that are almost part of the complex at the Moda Center, and they're very good. The light rail goes right to the steps of the Moda Center, so Doug and I were just there. We took Uber, and we got right to the game quickly, but light rail also goes right to the Moda Center. It's a beautiful building, beautiful.
Yeah. And if you go into downtown Portland, there are a lot of restaurants, really nice ones. They're little, chic little restaurants. They make a lot of great food.
But who are you going to the game with?
I'm going with my wife. We're going to the February 3rd game against Dallas.
Awesome. How many are you just going there? You just going up and back?
No, we're going to go out Friday night, stay the night. That's why I was trying to talk to people and find out what to do. I know they're capital of donuts. They got Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, the Voodoo Donuts is great. You got to check that out. I don't know if you guys like to eat out a lot, but there's a restaurant on Broadway, Southwest Broadway. It's called El Gaucho, E-L-G-A-U-C-H-O. I would look it up. It's my favorite, other than Del Frisco's in New York City. It's my favorite restaurant in the country. It's great with the wife. It's a great, phenomenal ambiance, and the food is just spectacular.
Yeah. El Gaucho.
I appreciate the tip. Thank you, Grant.
No problem. Thank you. I'll tell you, if you go to El Gaucho and you said it was not good, I'll pay for your dinner. That's how confident I am of it.
Whoa. Man.
No one will ever go to El Gaucho and say it sucks.
You're right.
It's awesome.
Comes in second, of course, to a New York restaurant.
Well, Del Frisco's in New York is phenomenal. It's great. But El Gaucho?
You go to Little Italy?
I have been to Little Italy before. Yeah, I prefer Big Italy on the other side of the ocean. But, all right, we'll come right back for the final hour right after this.